So what do you feel like your circumstances?
Well, I just feel like my decision making in life has been more circumstance than me finding it, I guess. And just having the right support around me, I guess, is more the issue. So yeah, I started at 10 years old thinking I was going to be a dental hygienist. Because I like getting my teeth cleaned. Let's start there. I thought that was the dream. That's what I wanted to do. I was going to be a dental hygienist. That was it. It's the best job ever for me at 10. And my mom actually thought that, I think she thought commercials were going to be my thing. You know, she was very into the acting thing, which I liked too, but I wasn't that heart set on that. I like theater, you know, so when I went into college, I actually went to college doing all the theater arts program. And then all of the other classes I need to become a dental hygienist, which was kind of interesting. By the time I got through most of the classes, dental hygienist, you know, my prep courses before getting accepted into the hygienist program was my anatomy, medical terminology, nutrition, all those classes, right? I was just finishing that out, and I got in, like, a big car accident. And it was actually around the time I met Kirian, to be honest. And that car accident, I broke, I had a secondary fracture in my sternum, so I couldn't sit up. I was out of school for, I think, 3 months, having that heal. When I got back from healing from that, school was, like, kind of messed at that point. I couldn't do, I had lost time, mm-hmm. school-wise. And summer was coming up, and my dad's dentist actually had a dental assistant who was pregnant, and she needed someone to take her place while she was on maternity leave. Mm-hmm. She said, she'll teach me everything I need to know. Since that was my path, I was like, awesome, great. So I got hired on with our family dentist to do dental assisting, right? And I think it was maybe 6 months total. In that 6 months, I realized I did not want to be a dental hygienist. Mm-hmm. I did not want to do that. I was bored to tears. And at that point, I went, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? Right? Thankfully, that was around the same time that I met Kirian, mm-hmm. my husband. And he had a path. He's very direct. He knows, he's always known what he wants to do. It was very clear to him, and he set out and got it. I was more fickle. But he sat me down and said, hey, well, what do you want to do? I was like, well, shit, now I don't know. You know? And I moved in with him. Since I moved in with him, like, 3 months after we met, I was working part-time jobs here and there. I got a job at a video store, and ended up managing a video store at 19 years old, mm-hmm. you know. It was a great group of people, fun group of people, but I was able to do whatever I wanted fun-wise while my boyfriend, who I lived with, stayed on his career path and made the money.
You know,
which wasn't a lot, because we were living with his mom. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it wasn't like, I mean, we essentially helped his mom pay rent, and we lived there for a very long time, kind of him doing his thing and me doing my thing. And he also, at the same time, managed a roller rink, and there was roller hockey there. Since I grew up a figure skater, I was interested. I was like, oh, that looks like so much fun. Kirian said, you should try it. I was like, oh, okay. So this is where I start finding out that I'm willing to try anything, okay? It was a very early time for me. I was like, oh, sure, awesome, get me the gear. So he got me the gear, started roller hockey. I asked anyone and everybody how to play, what to do. I already knew how to skate. I didn't know how to play. There was only 3 women in the men's league at the time, and boy, did we take a beating at times. They were getting checked from behind. They didn't want us there. They wouldn't pass to you. And it wasn't until I got a slap shot that I started getting some respect in the men's, you know, roller hockey. And we started a women's travel team. And they started getting real big with the women's hockey and having huge tournaments everywhere. And so we put together a women's team and started making a name for ourselves. And then, I think that went on for like maybe 3-4 years. And I got really caught up in hockey early on, so Carrie did everything. Honestly, I had a part-time job, and I played hockey at, you know, in my early 20s. That was fun time for me.
Mm-hmm. How far did you take hockey?
Pretty far, actually. I mean, it was serious. I was playing like 5 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was subbing in leagues, back-to-back games. Shortly thereafter, the women's roller hockey team decided they were going to go ice, and ice was starting to get real big. So in the small town in Santa Rosa that we were in, there was a Snoopy's Ice Arena. Charles Schultz owned it, and there was a guy who was an ex-whaler from the NHL that was putting together a women's thing, and he wanted all of us to come out. It didn't matter if you could skate ice or not.
Uh-huh.
I just had the advantage that I was a figure skater, so I knew how to skate. And I think the first session, there's a huge black and white picture out there of us. There's almost 50 gals that he took a picture of us all, you know.
Awesome.
There was only maybe 3 of us that had ever skated ice.
Uh-huh.
The rest were all roller. He took us from ground one and taught us the basics of ice hockey, taught everyone how to skate, put us through the drills. And in the meantime, because he was old school and he was a whaler, he was NHL, not always the best tactic. Coach-wise, for me, it was great. I don't mind a coach yelling and pushing and cussing, you know.
Not all people respond to that very
not
well.
Not all grown women respond to that well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the program kind of went down a little bit and depleted in women. And a friend of mine, Sonia, who very good friend of mine, I met her through hockey. She's the one that recruited me to hockey to begin with.
Oh, cool.
She saw me skating at the roller rink and mm-hmm. said, hey, you want to play? And she told me, at first she was going to have me play goalie, and I was like, no way. And she's like, oh my God, you can skate backwards, your defense, right? It was really easy. And she taught me my first wrist shot, and she taught me essentially how to play the game in the beginning. But her and I decided to go play, they started a women's ice hockey league in the Bay Area, and we would travel, no joke, 2 hours on a Wednesday night to play hockey, to get coached, to play travel team, and get home at, you know, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday night and have to go to work the next day,
mm-hmm.
you know, for our team.
Mm-hmm.
We immediately got placed in the advanced women's division for ice hockey that first season out, so you had to try out. And I ended up being placed as forward, and I had never played forward. I'd only played defense. My first game out, I had a hat trick. I was like,
this is fun to place for you.
But literally, from the time I got in that car accident, all the way until I had my first child, it was all hockey. That's all I did. and then one day, Terry and I weren't even married yet, I said, it's time, I want to have a kid now. Now's the time. I believe I was 24. I think I was 24.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, are you sure? Have you done everything you want to do? I'm like, no, it doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
In my mind, I was ready. I wanted a child with this man. And there was no ands, ifs, or buts about it. I wasn't worried that we weren't married. I wasn't worried that we were still living at his mom's house. I wasn't worried that we weren't making enough money.
Mm-hmm.
That was just what I wanted to do. And him being such a wonderful guy was like, well, if that's what you want, you sure you don't want to think about it? Let's think about it. We took about a month or so to think about it. I was like, now's the time. So we decided to have Chase. Totally planned. And he's like, well, what are we going to tell her? You know, what about marriage science? Don't worry about it. We'll figure that out.
Yeah.
You know? And so I got pregnant with my first child, and I was literally on the glass. I actually skated hockey. I skated practices while I was pregnant up until I was about 7.5 months pregnant.
Holy cow, that's awesome.
Because, you know, the doctor said, don't play games.
Uh-huh.
She said, if you want to practice, and if you've skated all your life, just when you feel off balance, get off the ice.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, fine. So that's what I did. And honestly, it kept me in shape, to be honest. I gained exactly like 24 pounds.
Fantastic.
With him. Yeah.
So you're nice and lean and everything.
Yeah, it was easy.
Mm-hmm.
It was easy. The delivery part was not so easy, but pregnancy was easy.
Pregnancy was good.
In the meantime, I was still longing to play hockey,
mm-hmm.
right? And hockey here, there's no pro women's thing. There's no... Jillian, turn it off. There's no pro women's thing. There's no... You know, at the time, it was just a bunch of women, small community, just trying to grow women's hockey. Like,
mm-hmm.
honestly, when it comes down to hockey in the Bay Area, there are certain ladies who are the founders
of it.
Of growing it, yeah. And wherever everybody went didn't matter, you know. After I had Chase, I was only 2 weeks out of having him, and I went right back to playing hockey.
Whoa, it's just
as soon as
ridiculous.
I got, yeah, 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
It was exactly 2 weeks. Soon as the doctor said, as soon as your stitches are healed, come in and see me, we'll talk. That's it. I was like, I'm out. I don't care. My first spill on the ice hurt like hell, but it was okay.
Uh-huh.
And then I got right back into travel roller hockey as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the women's Olympic team was starting to, you know, come up, and we had formed a women's travel ice team. I actually moved all the way to San Diego and started playing with a women's ice team there. That was before, before we developed one in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Kieran's job took him to Southern California. So I found a women's team there who had been competing at a regional and national level for ice hockey.
Oh, fantastic.
So for me, that was the bee's knees. I was like, this is it. You know, and up until this point, I had played with and against, people like Manon Rayom, who played in NHL. She was on the Olympic team.
Mm-hmm.
I had played with and against Beth Leach, who's Brian Leach. He's NHL. His sister, one of the girls who was a sister off one of the Sharks guys.
Uh-huh.
I had just traveled and played with and against these high-level girls. And so I got on this team. San Diego Heartbreakers was the name. And started traveling and really doing some hockey travel. When I left, Kieran would take care of Chase. You know, it'd be 4 days gone at a tournament, and, you know, Chase either was at my parents' house or with Kieran. And his job then started, it actually brought us, after about 4 years, brought us back to the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I got a hold of my friend Sonia again. I said, you got to do this. You got to form a women's team, and you got to compete for nationals. It's not difficult. Here's the information, you know. So she put a team together, and our women's seals team, in the tradition of the Oakland Seals, we named our women's team the Oakland Seals.
Uh-huh.
They were a men's team way back when. We put together a women's team. We got a coach. Andre Lacroix from the Flyers was our program manager at Oakland, right?
Neat.
And then Emery Likens, who, he was our coach forever, and coach, big brother, family member, he was like everybody's, you know, he was like our brother, and he was our coach. He actually went to Ranger camp and was drafted to Ottawa, so we got some creme de la creme coaches going on,
uh-huh.
You know, to help us get where we were going. I think our fourth year in, we took third at nationals in the women's B division. And it was just the best thing ever. I mean, we did everything we could that season to take third. The women's hockey scene became your extended family. Like, even to this day, we call each other Sister Seals.
Okay.
We would have camping trips after the season was over, just so everyone could see each other. I mean, it was just... I can't tell you how much of my life has been engulfed in the hockey scene.
Uh-huh.
Before my life really got started, I didn't even know, okay?
Yeah.
That I would be where I'm at today. So I got to tell you, between the ages of 19 and 32, it was my son, my husband, and hockey.
Awesome. Okay.
There's a big gap there.
Big, huge gap. And
big
then?
Big gap. And then while I continue to play hockey,
uh-huh.
Kieran decided he was tired of, you know, he worked his way up and got into the executive security business. Great job, you know, that was our bread money, that's our food money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to go back to doing what he loved to do as a coach and fighting game. So he got, and he brought me into Krav Maga. That's what happened. He was like, you got to try this. He needed to get back in shape. He had gained some weight. He heard about Krav, loved it. He joined the school, and he was like, honey, you got to try this. And at this time, I was, you know, I was like 30, 32. And he's like, I promise, you'll love it. And I said, no. I am not going to some martial arts studio, and I'm not bowing to everybody in there
mm-hmm.
5 billion times. I said, that's not what I'm doing. He goes, trust me, you don't do it. You bow in, you bow out. Everything else is reality. He goes, it's a great workout, simple, don't worry. So he convinced me to go. And I took one class of Krav Maga, and I went, oh my God, this is amazing. I walked out feeling like I could punch somebody and know how to do it,
uh-huh.
You know, and that I could defend myself. And so I started taking Krav Maga with him, and we were at a school for, I think, about a year and a half. And I decided it was time for me to get pregnant again. So I was totally loving what I was doing, but it was time for me to, you know, get pregnant again. It took me 2 years to get pregnant with Jillian. In that time, I had gained a lot of weight. Like, I was walking around 50 pounds heavier than I ever had in my whole life.
Uh-huh.
And so I had her, and at the school that we were at for Krav Maga, took kind of a bad turn, calling out through the owners, right?
Oh. Uh-huh.
And one of the owners decided he wanted to take Carrie in and take him to another school, all the way in San Jose. So we would commute to San Jose, and I decided after I had Jillian that I needed to get back in shape, number one, but I also need to get back to hockey. And Kieran was teaching Thai boxing class. And I thought, with all the Krav I've taken, you know, I'll try Thai class. It's great off-ice training for me in my mind. I was like, too many hard, too many funny eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I started Thai boxing. I was the first girl in his class of all guys. And I was throwing out my arms, holding pads for guys. My shoulders, my elbows, and
so
Kieran started holding for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I kept begging the other girls who were doing Krav Maga and stuff to come, please come in with me, I need a partner, somebody mm-hmm. come in with me. It took me about a year before I got a single girl in there, which was, I believe it was Amber and Felicia that I begged them to come in.
No way!
Yeah, because I had spent a whole year, and after that year, everyone was like, oh, Jess, when are you going to fight? I'm like, not for me. Not for me. I had a really bad experience in Krav Maga, getting in the ring, not knowing anything.
Yeah.
Because I had also suffered a torn ACL, and so it worried me.
Mm-hmm.
And although I had that ACL replaced by this point, I was like, people are crazy for getting in the ring. Not my thing. I don't need to get punched in the face. I think 3 months after suckering Amber and Felicia in, they both wanted to fight. So Kieran had me starting to spar Amber, even though I didn't want to fight, right?
Just for training.
It was for
her.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And in the meantime, I was starting to get used to some of that contact.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. It wasn't so bad. I found out I was more willing to take one to give one, even.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big deal. And then I kept getting bugged by everybody there about fighting. And I told everyone I was too chicken. I'm too chicken to do that. It came up to a point where it was New Year's Eve, and Amber had said to me, you should just try it just once, otherwise you'll regret it. I'm going on 34.
Then you know.
Yeah,
I'm going on 34. All the way.
She's like, you're 34, she's mm-hmm. not like you're getting paid to do it, just try it and see if you like it. So I literally, in order to make myself do it, I had to make it my New Year's resolution, and I knew that if I said something to Kieran, I had to stick to it. So
he'll hold me accountable for it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So to hold me accountable, because I knew he would hold me accountable, on New Year's Eve, I said, I'm making a new resolution. He said, what is it? And I said, I want you to get me my first bite. And he was like, are you sure? I was like, yes, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to do it. And I'm just going to do one. Yeah, just to say I did it.
Yeah.
You know? And he was like, okay, it's on. And from that point on, and honestly, I had just had Jillian, so I was walking around at, I think, like, close to, I think it was, like, 168 pounds, and I'm only 5'2", so he was like, first thing we got to do,
mm-hmm.
yeah, he's like, you got to get down weight. And I was like, okay, you know, let's work that out, you know. A week later, he comes back. He goes, you're going to fight in February. I had 8 weeks. And I was like, already? And he's like, yep, you're going to fight in February in Vegas at Master Toddy's. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he goes, and you're going to be at 130 pounds. And I was like, I got to go from 168 to 130 in 8 weeks? You're going to be fucking kidding me. You know? But sure enough, I followed the diet. I did all my sparring. I did all my fight team conditioning. I did all my classes. And I think by the time that fight rolled around, I went through a lot of tears. Kieran, because he's my husband, it was tough to have him coach me. A lot of time he had Amber and Eric would come by, and they would kind of coach me while Kieran was way off to the side, because I would go nuts. As soon as Kieran walked in the room, I would fall apart.
Oh, no. Uh-huh.
And it didn't matter where I was spot. Even at Rudy's, when we went to Rudy's, you
mm-hmm.
know, it was all fine until Kieran showed up. And then, so they kind of babied me through that.
Mm-hmm.
And gave me my lickings all at the same time, right? So ended up feeling pretty confident by the time I went to Masutati's that I literally got all that weight down. I didn't even have to cut weight. And I was very proud of that. That was a big accomplishment for me. So then I go to Masutati's. I have my fight against a girl who also had no fights, but she'd been training for a long time. She was just as technical as I was. And I broke her ribs in the second round with a kick. And I got so drunk that night, and I was throwing up the side of the taxi because I was so happy. I actually came back, and it was funny, as Jesse Gillespie was there, and Jesse was like, before they called my name out, I was just, you know, I was all cheerleader, honestly, big smile. Even when I weighed in, the girl was just stone-faced, and I was like, you know, I was ready. I was like, cool, this is, you know, this is supposed to be fun, you know, and she was, maybe she didn't think so much, but waiting for my name to call, I was excited, I was smiling, and Jesse Gillespie goes, it's not like it's a hockey game, Jessica. He goes, you're the happiest fighter I've ever seen. I was like, I feel like it. I feel like it's a big game.
Yeah.
You know?
Dang,
my adrenaline's pumping. And then once I broke her ribs and I came out, Karen's like, how do you feel? I'm like, great. Do we fight again? Should we do, is there another one? I feel like it wasn't enough. It wasn't long enough. But I was really happy about it. And I was happy with my performance. And then not too much later, the girls... Naylene, Amber, Katie, they were doing Female Fury in the city, and they all were like, you have to do Female Fury with us, we're all going to do it. So we had pictures and the whole thing, right?
Team event,
And I was like, no, I didn't want to do it. I was like, no, I did my one, I'm good. You know, I went back to this, no, I did it, I tried it. But since they were all doing it, I was like, okay, I'll check it out and do it. I'll do it again. And it was right before Kyrian was... got approached by MJ to open up our own gym.
Yeah.
Right? And at this time, I mean, I had had Krav Maga experience, I had had Thai boxing experience, and the school we were at had me teaching kids Krav Maga and Thai boxing.
Oh, cool.
So I was teaching that on the side over there. Mm-hmm. All the while, I've got my own two kids, I've got my husband, I'm still doing laundry, taking kids to dance, you know, cooking five nights a week. I don't even know how I find the time to do it. And commuting to San Jose to teach, which was like a long commute
from long lines.
Yeah. MJ approached Kyrian to open this gym, and it was right before the Female Fury stuff. So I got to finish up some of my training here before Female Fury. And I was convinced that they weren't going to find an opponent for me, actually. I was so convinced I wasn't training very hard. And then about 3 weeks prior, Kyrian goes, oh no, you've got
the
opponent. You're not getting out of it. I did that fight, and I won that unanimous decision. Mm-hmm. And I was like, awesome, good, now I'm really done. Because the stress that it took to train with having a family and opening a business and still doing hockey, because I got to tell you, I told Kyrian I would not give up hockey. He made Jesse Gillespie play hockey, too. He made Jesse give up hockey. And I said, I'll fight, but I'm not giving up hockey. So he goes, okay, then hockey doesn't count. So he didn't care how much hockey I played. If I was sore, if I was tired, it didn't count, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm good with that. So I made sure that I really pushed myself to the very end of energy. when we opened our new gym, Kyrian then decided that he wanted a CrossFit program. So he gave me some CrossFit when I was training for my fights, and I thought it was the best thing in the world. I'd never felt that good in my whole life, to be honest. And he picked a CrossFit coach from One World, and immediately, our first CrossFit class, I smashed the workout. I felt like a beast. I was like, I can't believe. In my mind, I always doubt myself, so I couldn't believe that I was doing that well. And even the other trainer that we had brought in, Jackie, right, was she's a personal trainer. She's very fit, 10 years younger than I am. And I was killing these workouts and just getting the best time on the board and the best numbers on the board every freaking workout. And I thought, wow, this is cool. Yeah. I thought, wow, this is cool. I'm going to have to really look into this. And then Kyrian was like, I think that you should get certified to teach it. And I was like, I don't know. He's already got me teaching kids class. And I told him when we opened, I did not want to teach kids class. I was okay sitting at the front desk. Okay? So motivated, right?
Yeah.
He put me through my level one cert for CrossFit. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I started to do CrossFit, I knew that that's really what that's really what I wanted to do.
Activities with you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I was supposed to do. And that's why I say circumstance, right? All these things led around to, I feel like they were almost just dropped in my lap.
But at the same time, it sounds to me like you were essentially just following your passions. And your passions kind of led you
exactly
to where you needed to be.
That's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a matter of A, circumstance, but B, recognizing, you know, it's okay to go after what you like to do, right? And thankfully, I had a support system to do that. Kieran's always been that guy that said, do what you want to do, you know? And in consequence, that led me to, you know, I have my CrossFit instructor certification, along with a zillion other ones through CrossFit, along with my Krav Maga instructor certification, along with, yeah, can I get away with teaching some Thai boxing too? Sure, I've done it long enough.
Yeah.
You know, when he introduced me to CrossFit, that was, everything was complete, yeah. And I knew how to teach it. I get along with people. It was fun for me to help people achieve these goals that they never thought they could. I never thought I could do a pull-up. I didn't do pull-ups in high school. I sat on the bench in high school. I had a doctor's note from my uncle, who was a chiropractor, said I didn't have to do PE. And here I am in CrossFit.
No way!
Smashing stuff, lifting weights, doing a shit ton of pull-ups, right? Uh-huh. But be able to pass that to other people and teach someone how to do their first pull-up, their first rope climb, get them over their fear of getting some weight over their head. It's an amazing feeling.
Jumping on a box.
Yeah, right? And so then, you know, so that just led me. I hit CrossFit running, mm-hmm. right? And then from that point on, CrossFit started offering these other courses and some specialty courses. And I did powerlifting course. I didn't know that I would like to lift such heavy weight at maximum effort like I did. And the powerlifting coach said, hey, you should come out and play. You know, we're near you guys. And so I did that 8 months ago
mm-hmm.
and got my powerlifting cert. And then I started liking it so much, I decided to compete in the powerlifting. And for my first competition, I hit masters numbers, which are huge. Takes girls a couple years usually to hit masters.
Yeah.
My second competition this summer, I plan to hit elite numbers. And in the meantime, now I'm competing in CrossFit too, right? I've, at my age, which is rare, the top 60 women qualify for regionals for CrossFit, and there's only maybe a handful of us in that top 60 that are over 35, right? So I've qualified 2 years in a row. The second year I'm going to go team. But I can tell you next year, I'm going
Mommy,
individual.
Mommy!
Go. Stop. Go. Go. So I'm going to do, you know, and I feel like it's taken me that much time to, A, get confidence in myself. I think if there's one thing that I'm lacking the most, it's confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And
which you don't, it doesn't seem that way at all.
It's deep.
Like, you, like, at all.
Well,
like,
thanks.
For the first time that I met you, I was like, one day, be like that. Because you come across with, like, very, very, like, quiet, very strong confidence and such positive energy that no one, like, I don't think anyone would ever.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty good at hiding it.
Mm-hmm.
Kieran sees the brunt of it, and he puts me in check most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do have that. I'm just like most people, and most women in particular, right? I've got confidence issues that everyone else has.
Yeah.
And I have to kind of check myself a lot and go, hey, cut it out. You know, I have to give myself a little mm-hmm. check. Cut it out. Stop thinking like that. And it happens all the time for me. And Kieran will put me in check if I don't put myself in check. So that's helpful. But yeah, confidence is my biggest thing, and I always think I'm doing worse than I'm doing, right? There's a part of me that says that's what's helped push me along all this time, because I'm a firm believer that you are not growing if you think you know it all already.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, if you walk around like you think you know it all already, then you're not learning anything. So there's a part of me that's always kept that. Okay, well, there's always bigger, better, faster, stronger. how do I get there? I am not there yet. So if you're never there yet, you're always striving for that, right?
Yes.
It's a never-ending
thing.
You're
always pushing yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what helped me through CrossFit as well, right? Because it gets tough sometimes. Uh-huh. Not much like fighting does. It gets mentally tough. You know, now that's what I'm doing. And now, I've got personal clients, too, who are asking me to personal train them, which I'm going to admit it's not my favorite thing to do. I'd much rather teach a class.
Uh-huh.
But I see the need for it. And you make these relationships with people, and it's actually quite rewarding as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I feel flattered that somebody would say, hey, can you personally train me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, that's how they see me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm like, oh, that's cool. That means I've stepped another rung on the ladder.
Yeah.
You know? So that's nice for me to realize, I guess. And, you know, from here on out, that's what I want to do. I want to be the best coach I can be.
That's awesome.
I want to start programming some cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to still compete. I want to compete in the CrossFit Games. I want to get to regional and hopefully maybe get to the Games, whether it's a team or individual. But one way or the other, that's my ultimate goal. So
that's fantastic. So, like, looking at that and looking at your journey and looking at the fact that you followed kind of, like, your passions and they've led you essentially like this way, what would you impart upon, you know, A, the younger kids who don't really know what they want, but also B, the young adults that maybe they thought they knew?
Well, pay attention to your passions, right? Always have a backup plan. And don't forget that it's okay to be passionate about something, you know, and you never know where that's going to lead you. If you don't take the chance, you don't know. But you have to be open enough to realize it. You have to see what's sitting in front of your face. And if it's going to lead you to your passion or help you with that, you need to jump on. You know, you can't be afraid of it. To be honest, being afraid of it's the worst thing you could do. So, and I think that would apply for people all over the board. And then as age comes into play, guess what? It's never too late. It's never too late. It's only your mind stopping you. You know, it comes down to it's you against you. It's not you against the world. It's you against you. So, that's what it comes down to.
Awesome. So, any other little tidbits that you want to add that you think are like little nuggets of wisdom? Kind of help guide someone.
Yeah, don't let you get in the way. Sometimes you have to tell you to shut up. You know, yeah, don't let you get in the way of you, because that's the main thing. No one else is holding you back but you, generally. And the quicker you realize that, the easier it is to get through life. That's what I think.
Awesome. Yeah. That is. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
That rocks.